Welcome. Bienvenidos. How are you? Thank you so much for coming to join me for another episode of Somewhere in Between. I'm so excited to have you here, and I appreciate you coming to spend some time with me today. I've got a great show planned for you today. We have another strand of an episode that I want to get into, and I'm excited to share with you. And if you have tried it, I'd love to hear from you. Let me digress. I also have a really great news article, and today's topic of the day is F tradition. The topic of the day, I just kind of want to spend a little bit of time talking about how much time we spend our lives dedicating our actions, movements, and belief systems to traditions that were set up before we got here that we haven't really questioned. So let's just pull back a little bit. And again, I want to thank you guys for coming to join me. I am really excited to hear your feedback about this particular topic, because I know it can be touchy, because it's just so much involved when you really start talking about traditions and what they mean. But I just wanted to take a second to just thank you again for joining me. And let's just take a nice cleansing breath. Close your eyes and a nice full inhale and exhale. And let's get ready to relax and enjoy each other's company. Thanks again for joining me. Okay, the strand of the episode. I think this might be my favorite part of every episode, but then again, I think I say that about every part of every episode. So my episode of the day is one of my favorites. It's called Green Crack. I don't know if you have ever had this particular sativa, but wow. Okay, wow. I love this blend so much. It is a, like I said, it's a sativa, and it's one of my favorites because it's so consistent. It really does give me a very, I'll use the words that are in the Leafly app actually, an invigorating mental buzz that keeps you going throughout the day. So that might be a little bit, that's quite poetic. But I really do agree with that. I think that this particular flower really does give you a focused, uplifted feeling. And I think that it has a lot to do with the fact that it is really good for pain reduction. I did want to note that the flowers, and I do agree with the description here in Leafly, that it is a sweet, a citrusy, kind of an earthly balance that works really well for me. And like I said, maybe it's not what you want if you want something that's going to help mellow you out, but if you want something that you can use during the day that's going to put you in a state of mind so you can be productive, I definitely recommend Green Crack. I have had it in both the concentrate and the flower, and I love it both. Don't get me wrong, I don't normally get a lot of sativa flower, only because I feel like I prefer to have something like that when I'm in a more relaxed environment and I can feel the breakdown of the flower and everything. But I definitely do love Green Crack. So when you are in, have the opportunity to try it, if you have not already tried it, please do so and let me know what you think. You can hit me up at sibpodcast@gmail.com, sibpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know what you think, and SIB is, of course, somewhere in between. So email me, let me know your thoughts. I can't wait to hear what you think about it, and I can't wait to try some of it with you. Eee! So the more that we speak about the progress of melanated people and people in general and women and disenfranchised people in general, the more I start to think of how business supports business and how me as a business owner, I haven't talked about it on the podcast yet. Let me just say this. I haven't talked about it on the podcast yet, but I'm a business owner. I am a hair salon owner. I have a salon and where I service natural hair. I'm a loctician, to be specific, and I love what I do and I take my business very seriously. My partner is also a business owner, and you know, it's just, it means a lot to be able to have that support. With that said, I would really love to create sponsorship programs with other people in the area or people that just support the cause. So if you are interested in being a sponsor for Somewhere in Between, if you like what I talk about, if you want to hear more about it, if you want to help get more equipment or, you know, whatever, feel free to let me know. Send me some information and we can definitely talk about those possibilities. I would really love to have you as a sponsor. That also goes along with if you would like to be on the show as a guest. I'd love that. Let's talk about that. If there is some way that my business could support yours, if there's something that we can do to join forces, I definitely would be interested in talking about that more. So, with that said, I think I've said the email once earlier in the show, but I will say it once again. Please reach out to me somewhere in between. The email is sibpodcast@gmail.com, sibpodcast@gmail.com. I really like that little intro sound. That's so cool. I think I'm going to always use that when I'm about to introduce the news on the show. So today I wanted to find an article that was in keeping with the theme of F tradition, just fuck tradition. Like, let's just stop even saying F, okay? So, I wanted to find an article that went along with that. And I actually found this article from Scientific America, and it was published last year in 2018. And it was basically talking about the decline in people that identify as Christian. Because when I initially started to break down what tradition meant to me in my life, I think religion was the first area where I realized I had been, where I realized I had been kind of held hostage to a traditional belief system. So I looked this up and I found this information, and basically what this article said, and I'll definitely put it in the description so you can look into it, but it was basically saying that for people that were born after the year of 1980, which I classify as that group of people, it said that basically in 2007, from 2007 to 2013, there was an increase of about 36.6 million people. I have that wrong. So between that time period, the numbers went from 36.6 million to 55.8 million people that categorized themselves as having no religious affiliation at all. I just want to say that again. Let's just let this sink in. So there were only, this went from, what it's saying is that it went from 34% to 64% of people that were born in 1980. So from 36 million people to 55 million people in this small period of time, all re-identifying their belief system. I think that that is something to really think about. And this is only one area where we're starting to break through these bounds of tradition. Now, I will note that there were a few areas that were problematic for me in this article. And this could just be me being nitpicky, but I really don't think so. The reason why I say that, the first one, is because while I was reading through this article, the person that wrote it doesn't seem to have a clear line of demarcation between atheism and someone who is agnostic and someone who is spiritual versus choosing to worship through an organized religion. These are three very different classifications, and it is it's kind of disrespectful to kind of loop them in all as one. I've had this issue before, and I'll get to that once we get into the actual topic of the show. But I've had this issue before, and that was a real pet peeve of mine when I was reading through the article, because once again, at the end, there was another time where the author kind of just lumped everybody in there together. And I think that that is misleading because it skews the numbers and it doesn't really show, it doesn't really give a true representation of what people are doing outside of a Christian or a, you know, some other type of organized religion context. So I would like to indulge a little bit more into some, just looking at some other articles and getting some more information, but this was a really cool article and it's just the tip of the iceberg. If you have any other suggestions and would like to keep this conversation going, you know what to do. Email me, put it in the comments. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. I have a feeling that this topic of breaking away from tradition is going to be a topic that I revisit several times throughout the life of this podcast, because it just, the conversation just can't be contained into one segment. It just can't happen. And I also would really love to expand it past just you listening to me, but I would like to include some of your comments in the future. I would love to incorporate my friends, my partners, different things like that. I would really love to have a layered conversation about this, but I think that this is as good a time as any to go ahead and get the ball rolling about how do we really just dismantle tradition. And when I say dismantle tradition, I really want to be clear about what exactly I mean. There are traditions and standards and ways that we are taught to do things, and some of them are here for our safety. Some of them are here to protect us and to serve us, and so that we can succeed and have a longer life. And to those traditions, I thank you. And to the people that uphold those traditions, I think you are amazing. I aspire to be like you, and I try my best to practice those same traditions for my children, like the tradition of brushing your teeth in the morning. That's great. The tradition of taking a shower. That's amazing. The tradition of washing your hands. Another awesome tradition. And I know that you may be thinking, like, Fancy, these are not traditions, but they are. They are a part of our grooming tradition. They are part of a ritual that we perform before we go out into the world, right? So we do these traditions. We celebrate our birthdays. We do these things. We get very used to them. And a lot of them we don't question because they were there from the beginning of our existence. From the time that most of us are little kids, you grow up where your parents bring a tree inside your home once a year and put lights around it and put gifts under it. And you don't really question it because it's what happens every December around the solstice. We grow up and a lot of us, I mean, not me, but a lot of us grow up in households where your parents or family friends might invite you over to search a yard where they have hid eggs, colorful eggs throughout a yard. And you collect them and put them in a basket, and after you spent time painting them, like, when you say these traditions out loud, that shit don't sound right. It just doesn't sound right. Why am I bringing a tree indoors and putting lights around it? Why am I telling my kids that some white dude's going to come down the chimney? Why do I pull out fireworks for the 4th of July? Why do I go to this particular place of worship every Sunday and do this particular set of habits? Like, it's nothing wrong necessarily with doing these things. I guess I just want everyone to kind of slow down and ask themselves, why? Why am I doing this? And how does this make me feel? Does this bring me joy? Does this serve a purpose? Do I feel spiritually full when I do this? These are really important questions, and I don't really think that we create time and space to address them. There were a few areas that when I was just kind of making some notes where I kind of thought these traditions really do take over our lives. One way is these traditions affect the way that we worship. They affect who and how we love. They affect how we raise our kids, how we educate ourselves and our kids, where we live, how we eat, how we view ourselves. All of these things are wrapped in tradition, a norm that was set before we were created, at least created in this body. How does it make you feel that these things were already designed for you before your opinion or your hopes and dreams and what you aspire to do was even considered? So while you're thinking about these things and while you're thinking about these traditions and the place that they hold and the significance that they hold in your life, how much of you carrying these traditions out have to do with what you feel is right, what you need, what you want, versus what other people's opinions of you is? How much of it has to do with what you truly feel is the right thing to do versus how comfortable and easy it is to fit inside that box? A few years ago, my partner and I decided to just kind of, we had been kind of falling out of the groove with Christmas anyway. And I think at this point, we had just kind of come to the conclusion that we weren't just the kind of people that didn't go to church, but we actually were not Christians. We actually did not believe in the system of Christianity. And this conversation came after years of unpacking in different ways for the both of us. And that's a whole other episode that I would really love to get into about, like, how we were raised so differently and different things like that. But anyway, it really came to our attention one day because we were thinking about the money that we had invested the year before in Christmas and how I had justified doing a lot of shopping because I really just wanted to see the boys' reactions when I got this particular gaming system for them that they had been asking for and asking for and asking for. So I broke my absolute neck, and I, well, not me alone, but me and my husband and, I mean, we worked and we pulled off the most beautiful holiday we could for these children. And I remember watching them rip apart this carefully wrapped box that I had prepared for the both of them. And they let those beautiful wrappings fall to the ground and they looked at the box and they smiled. I think they smiled for like a second and they opened the box and they opened the, you know, did all the wrapping stuff and grab the actual game and put it into the console. And then they literally, in a puff of smoke, disappeared. And I did not see them for like hours after that. There was no thank you. There was no jumping up and down. There was no excitement. It was just this chaotic rush to unload this thing or to unwrap it. And then they like disappeared. I felt so empty. And after that, I just remember like me and my partner talking like, why the fuck did we go through all that work to do this if this is what was going to happen? It was weird. Like, don't get me wrong, I have brilliant kids. My kids are beautiful. I love them. They're grateful. I would have gotten them this gaming system regardless. But I didn't have to do it at a time where I already was expecting to provide gifts for our younger son and our in-laws and this person and this person. It was just a lot. Like, for real, I could have waited until after the new year and gotten it for a little bit cheaper. But because of this day and because of this tradition, we did it that way. And after that year, I think that not even consciously, but we just started to scale back. I think that might have been the last year that we put up a tree. Just different things just kind of started happening differently for us. And then it just got to the point where we realized, wait, like, maybe we don't even celebrate Christmas anymore. And once that happened, I think that was the first time that we realized that, we need to start looking at other traditions and why we don't participate in them. I think that after that, the next tradition that I started to break open was my food, my diet, the food that I was living off of. I was really fortunate to be a part of, I think, probably one of the most important pieces of work that I will do in my lifetime. I was a part of the team that reelected President Barack Obama. And during that campaign stretch, those years of just working constantly, my diet got to be horrible. I was eating whatever from wherever just to stop the stomach from growling. And after that experience, I needed just some time to detox my body. So I cut out meat, I cut out dairy, I cut out soda. I think I might have even cut out alcohol. I cut out everything. And I limited my sugars, I limited my carbs. I really just wanted to clean myself up. And I said that I would do this for 21 days. So the way that it would have worked out is that on Christmas Day, that would have been the end of the 21 days. And I assumed that I would enjoy, you know, whatever my in-laws were preparing for Christmas that year. And as it turns out, when I got there, I smelled the food, and I mean, it looked good. I mean, I guess it looked good, but it was just not appetizing for me. And I just assumed, okay, well, I'll do this new no meat kind of a veganish diet for a little bit longer. And as it turns out, it's been like 7 years since then, and I still haven't gone back. So that was like the first time that. That was the second time that I kind of bucked against tradition. Another big tradition that we have squashed is the way that we educate our kids. Rather than my kids going to a brick and mortar school, they are now going to kind of like a virtual academy where it is school. They still have access to teachers and classmates, but it's portaled through their laptops, and they meet together for field trips and different things like that periodically. So that's another switch that we've made, stepping away from tradition. The way that we provide income from for our families, we have started our own businesses. So stepping away from tradition, I would love to step away from tradition farther and actually where we live and how we live. And I can really see myself in the next few years making significant change to, you know, how we live. Like, we're changing the way we view ourselves and the way we love ourselves. And ultimately, that changes the way that you love everyone else around you. And that's really, really, really what I'm learning. And that, I think, has been the best benefit to really breaking down these traditions. I don't want to ramble too much on this subject, but it does make me think about the way I have seen other women love themselves. As a child, I did not want to have children because I thought that I just thought about every woman that I knew that had kids and was married. They seemed to live such an unfulfilling life. Their lives seemed to just wilt away while everyone else in their lives seemed to get all of their support. And it just seemed like these women didn't particularly enjoy it, but in a weird way, they would brag to each other about how busy and unfulfilled they were. I just seemed like I heard a lot of conversation, either in person or in the media, about these women that were successfully, like in the workplace, they felt taken for granted and unfulfilled. And sexually, they felt unfulfilled and frustrated. They didn't feel like their husbands would pay them any particular amount of attention. Their children seemed to take them for granted. And they seemed fundamentally unhappy. Like, this was kind of across the board. This is the women that I saw, again, on the big screen, on the small screen, and in person. This seemed to be the running theme. The women that seemed to be having fun were the women that said, fuck that. You know, like, if I had to be anybody in the movie Color Purple, any of the women, I would choose to be Shug Avery, because she wasn't somewhere getting raped by sir or mister, whatever his name was. I tell you one thing, I still don't like Danny Glover for that, but I digress. Anyway, I completely lost my train of thought when I thought about that. But oh yeah, that's right. But the women that seem to be owning themselves, it seemed like Jack A on 227 was having a whole lot more fun than Mary. You know what I mean? Like, Sandra had dudes. Sandra was living her life. She was fly all the time. And Mary was looking kind of, you know, kind of regular degular. Like, who you really want to be at the end of the day? I thought that these women were so cool and really broke away from the pack. I thought that was amazing. I was inspired by women that were not afraid to do something different. And I guess seeing Maxine Shaw, right, as a little girl, and seeing her be so proud of her accomplishments on her own, and seeing her be so proud of her sexuality and her womanhood, and me watching this as however old I was, I'm gonna say I probably was a preteen or maybe 10 or something like that. But me seeing her really helped me understand the woman that I wanted to be. I mean, this, it might sound weird, but honestly, like, I'm not a lawyer. I didn't decide to take that route. But I did get to see a woman that was successful in her own right. And while she was flawed, she really owned who she was. And I thought that was amazing to see. And even women like, I think about another one of my favorite women that I saw that kind of lived their life differently. I think about, there was this one particular woman that lived in the area where I live now, and I won't give her name out because I'm not exactly sure where, you know, where her circumstances are, but I really appreciated seeing her be okay with being a single woman and really owning that shit and like running her own business. And you know, her circumstances have changed a little bit, but just seeing that as an example for me as a teenager was amazing, and I really appreciate those people. So when I had my sons, very young in life, I think that my brain kind of settled into the fact that I would be one of those women that, you know, had just, you know, I hope nobody takes this the wrong way, but I just figured I would be one of those women that developed belly fat, you know, and had a husband that cheated on them and kids that didn't appreciate them, and I would just kind of null it out with like wine and soap operas, you know, good old box wine and God and light. That'll make it all better. I mean, it sounds funny, but that's the truth. That's where I see people when they follow these patterns of tradition mindlessly. So after I had my two kids and I really took a good hard look at myself in the mirror, I decided to make a change. I decided to go against tradition and to step away from this marriage that wasn't serving me. And please don't get me wrong. I don't want my ex to come off like a bad guy at all, because he's not. He just wasn't the right guy for me. And I would have been lying to myself if I had let whatever religious traditions that played out in my previous life of being with him dictate to me that I had to continue to live this existence. I was 19 when I got pregnant and 19 when I got married, and forever seems real limited at 19. But you start to get 20, 21, and you start to realize, oh, damn, forever is a real long time. I'm just 21. And I signed up to do this forever based on a tradition that someone gave me. No, thank you. I broke that shit down real quick. So the next time I fell in love, I happened to fall in love with another guy, oddly enough, two guys in a row. And this guy had a different swag with him. We are still together. It's going on 13 years. But as I have said to you, we are building a new way to live. We're taking some uncharted territory here. And don't get me wrong, nothing that I am doing, nothing that we are doing as a unit is something brand new. These things have been around. It's living a plant-based life is nothing new at all, but it's somewhat still a little unconventional in the West. Us deciding to be to grab hold of our children's education a little bit more, nothing new, but still a little out the box here in the West. Us deciding to expand our love and open our relationship, nothing new at all. Again, something that is different in the West. Not working a job that offers me a retirement benefit, but rather starting a career that offers me longevity that even can't be bound by my own mortality. Now that is some fly shit that's not that popular here in the West. Well, let me not say that. It is popular here in the West, but in my traditional family values, my family says, go get a job that will provide you some insurance. And I respect that. I get it, because I don't take it for granted. And trust me, when I have to pay that insurance bill every month, I do pause and I think, damn, I could go work the phones at somebody's telemarketer office and get me some insurance for free every month. But I also have to remind myself that I don't think it would be worth it to do something that I don't feel passionate about. I don't think I can voluntarily do that. Now, if I have to do it for my family, trust and believe, a bitch will get on the phones. I will work, okay? If I can do nothing else, I can sell some stuff and I'm a hell of a customer service agent. But this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about our choice to live the way that we choose to live, our choice to adorn our bodies the way we choose to, if it's however it may be, our choice to love however that may be and however that may look. I feel that that is our choice. Granted, of course, that it is between two consenting adults. I do think that we should have the right to love how we choose. Now, once you start messing with babies and goats and shit, nah, okay? But consenting adults, yes. Do what you gotta do, okay? It might not be my cup of tea, but I do respect your way of doing it if that's what you choose to do. Now, these are all things that are not easy to digest. They're not easy to open your mind to around because, again, we are so deeply entrenched into what we are used to and deeply entrenched into our traditions that a lot of times when something does not fit in the box that we need it to, it is hard to break it loose. So I definitely understand that. And I understand how someone listening to this may think that I sound like I'm on absolute acid. And I respect that too. But I guarantee you I'm not, okay? I'm just really excited about the possibilities that we have once we can pull back the layers of tradition and we can really look at what's possible. What's possible is your wildest dreams. What's possible is whatever you can manifest. If you can manifest a life where you live on a beautiful house on the side of Santorini, Greece, with four lovers and a big sunflower farm in your backyard, then that's what you can have. But you're not going to have it if you're living a life stuck in tradition. I truly believe that we can all have a piece of what we deserve, at the very least. But we have to understand that we are going to have to make sacrifices along the way. That sacrifice might be comfort. That sacrifice might be the ability to fit in a large social setting. Because you might not anymore. And that's okay. Sometimes it's really okay. I encourage you to look around and think about what feels too comfortable in life. And why does it feel so comfortable? What would happen if you could shake it up a little bit? Would it remain? What happened if you really poked holes in your belief system? Would it be strong enough to remain? What if you really asked yourself some tough questions about your diet and your exercise habits? And not just what feels good or what tastes good, but what actually is good? Would you still be able to make the same choices that you make today in good consciousness? Listen, I'm not telling you to do anything crazy. I'm not telling you to make any changes. I'm just asking you to consider the possibility that maybe something could work outside of what you're used to right now. But hey, what do I know? I'm just somewhere in between. Listen, thanks so much for listening. I really enjoyed your company, and I hope you come back for another episode.